Let's pray. Father, thank you for what we've already done this morning. Thank you for the music that we've sung, the prayers that we've prayed, and the time of worship and fellowship that we've had. Father, I pray that this time of opening your word would be a time where your Spirit would remind us of your goodness and your love for us. And Father, thank you for the reminders that we can be still and know that you are God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever played the silent game or the quiet game? You know the one where you tell everybody the first one to talk loses? It's a game in particular with parents of young children who need their kids to be quiet. And no, we're not going to play the silent game because, of course, I would lose at this moment. However, at this time, as we begin the message today, I want us to remember the importance of silence. If you're just joining us today for the first time for a while, or maybe the first time ever, we've been going through a short series on the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. These disciplines that we've been going through, this is the third one so far, are meant to make us reflect. They're meant to make us reflect, intentionally spend time and marvel in God's whole character. And these disciplines are ones that we're not just called to do, but also ones that we can do, regardless of our age, our stage in life, or even where we are living. And of course, the disciplines that we'll be going through in this very short series leading up to Advent are not all of the spiritual disciplines, because that would, of course, take years to do. Last week, we had a brief break on this series as Dale reminded us of God's faithfulness and the impact that people can have on one's life. Now, for this morning and for the next few weeks, as we do approach Christmas time, we'll be going through spiritual disciplines once again. These disciplines, as you're thinking about them, are of course no means of a way of saving ourselves. In fact, we cannot save ourselves from the wages of our sinful rebellion against God who is holy. Only God can, who sent Jesus as God in the flesh to take on the form of flesh, live a perfect life, die on the cross for our sins, and rise again so that we can be saved. This is a story, this is the gospel, a story in which we cannot just hear once in our life, but multiple times. We need to be reminded of it. And of course, for spiritual disciplines, we've already looked at giving and confession. And today we're going to look at silence and solitude. I encourage you to look through your sermon notes to follow along if you would like. Silence, I'm going to define silence as the practice of intentionally listening to God in the quiet without interruption of any kind so that we can meditate on His will, character, and good news. Solitude is very much the same. I would define it as this: the intentional removing of oneself from the norms of one's life so that they can meditate upon God's character and word. Charles Spurgeon once said this: "There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on His word, spiritual strength for labor in His service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because we thus get the real nutriment out of them." Silence, as well as solitude, have had a bit of a bad reputation among most evangelical Christian circles in the past 50 years or so. Many have claimed that silence and solitude leads to inaction, and the Bible is clear that faith without works is dead. Many others have claimed that silence leads to insanity of some kind, that you start to hear voices in your head. Many others claim that silence leads to isolation, in which you are not involved relationally with any other human being and therefore can lead to a life of social awkwardness. These are all valid claims, and yet when we look at silence as well as solitude, we need to remember that even our Savior, Jesus, in Luke 5:16, often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Even though Jesus was only in ministry for 3 years, he still took time to withdraw from the world around him, and even his disciples whom he taught and led. The world, on the other side of things, tends to tell us about the benefits of silence, especially in recent years. Many professionals of many backgrounds, both Christian and not Christian, tell us about the pros of getting away from the world of social media, television, busyness, and the list goes on and on. Although this can be good advice, our ultimate authority must be from God's word, which we'll get to soon. Before we get into the text, I want us to understand what silence and solitude are not. Number one, silence and solitude is not isolation. It's not isolation. Isolation is the action of being isolated or separated from something. And although silence and solitude has an aspect of that to it, it is not solely isolation. In fact, I don't think Jesus calls us to isolation. Instead, he calls the church, that's his body, a people who cannot be separated by one another, just as body parts cannot be separated by one another. Isolation, of course, the main goal of isolation is to be separated for the sole purpose of just being separated by other people. This is not the main goal of silence and solitude. Number two, it's also not an act of simply not doing anything. Silence and solitude's main goal is to listen to God, to listen to our Savior, our best friend, and our treasure. Many people, maybe you this morning, believe that to be the case, that silence and solitude is simply just not doing anything. Maybe you have a previous background or knowledge in meditation, which is popular, of course, in Buddhism and other New Age beliefs. The word om, which perhaps you've heard before, literally means nothing. It's a word we have heard, and many people say this word because they literally want their mind to be on nothing. This is not the goal of Christian silence and solitude. We want to hear God and enjoy his presence in our lives instead. So as we get into the text, actually multiple passages this morning, I want you to think about what you think about silence and solitude. Is there a certain connotation that you have in your mind, in your heart, when you think about it? Silence, as defined by Webster Dictionary, is the complete absence of sound, and solitude is defined as the state of or situation of being alone. But the Bible defines these things and exemplifies these things as something greater and richer. And although we were made for community, there's no denying that. To be together, we must at times pursue silence and solitude so that we can pursue Jesus in a world of distraction. So if you have your Bibles with you or you want to grab the one in front of you, and also a reminder, there are Bibles in the very back there. Take them home, please. I'd love to see them gone and being used. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be entering the Gospel of Mark. That's the second book in your New Testament, the second Gospel we have. And we're going to be early in Mark, Mark 1, 35 to 39. Mark 1, 35 to 39. It says this early on in the Gospel of Mark. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The Gospel of Mark is the shortest gospel that we have, and because of that, unlike the other gospels, it gets right to the action and right into Jesus' ministry. Before this, we see that Jesus was baptized, drove out impure spirits, healed numerous people, we don't know how many, but I'm sure quite a few, from numerous diseases. Jesus, who was God and is God, was a busy man in his 3 years of ministry on earth. He, as God, didn't quite have to take a break like we do, and didn't have to spend time away from healing people or telling people the gospel, but he did. He did it as an example to his disciples, and of course now to us, even 2,000 plus years later. Jesus also didn't simply go away to think about nothing. He went away to pray, to spend time with the Father. He went early in the morning to do this, so there was no distractions around him. Now, the world today that we have today is much different than the world of 2,000 plus years ago. We now have things called cell phones, social media, and even the ability to listen to whatever we want wherever we are. We are typically surrounded by temptations, or perhaps a greater amount of temptations when it comes to distractions. And because of that, we need to understand where silence and solitude comes into play in our lives. Donald Whitney, in his book on spiritual disciplines, he says this: "One of the costs of technological advancement is a greater temptation to avoid quietness. And so many of us need to realize the addiction we have to noise." Silence and solitude aren't new things for Christians. Of course, throughout church history, we see, even in the Old Testament, Moses spending weeks and sometimes months with God, to, of course, Jesus, who went away from the crowds to spend time in prayer and silence. Silence and solitude, in one sense, can be easier in a place like Cremona compared to a city such as Calgary or even Red Deer or perhaps even Cochrane. As the population is lower, the phrase traffic jam doesn't really exist. And in general, the noise in a village is typically quieter. Even though this is the case, even though silence may be easier to achieve in Cremona or rural Alberta, which most of us live in, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the silence that God is calling us to. Silence, at least for Jesus, didn't mean stillness or a place or environment with no sound around him. Instead, it meant that there should be a different mindset or focus in the mind compared to your normal routine. Jesus didn't primarily get away in solitude and silence so that he didn't hear all the voices around him, but rather he went away to be with his Father. Luke chapter 6, if you want to go a little more into your Bible, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16, also tells a story of how before big decisions, Jesus went away in silence and solitude. Luke 6, 12 to 16 says this: "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Even earlier in Luke chapter 5, verses 15 to 16, with people around him in all directions, he takes a different route than doing things for them. It says this: "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." I want us to notice here that it doesn't say that Jesus withdrew to be lonely and prayed. It says he withdrew to lonely places instead. This is a place in which he could be alone and few or nobody was around. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, writes this: "Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. But the reverse is also true. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone." You see, Jesus has shown us that we were made for community, as we are human beings made in the image of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. And yet Jesus also shows us that as human beings, we are indeed still just that. We are human beings who, as finite creatures made by an infinite God, we must take as much time of our life to be with our God. So Jesus exemplifies silence throughout his ministry. However, in the psalm that was read moments ago, it's also a command from God. Psalm 46 reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And then he says this, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still. Be still. I think there are times in our life that we can be still, right? If you think about your life, there are times in which we can be still. Perhaps, of course, not with a lot of coffee or energy drinks. But for the majority of us, there are times when which we can be still. Notice God doesn't just tell us to be still, though. He doesn't end it there. He doesn't just say, be still. There is a purpose to being still, and it has nothing to do with us. It doesn't say, be still and know that you aren't God, or be still and be quiet. No, it says, be still and know that I am God. And then all of our questions and fear and worries come from that exact verse. It comes from a deep sense of knowing God. And one of the primary ways we know who God is comes from times of silence and solitude. This is why silence and solitude are so important, because it reminds us of who God is. And because of who God is, we can understand who we are in relation to him, as well as who we are because of what he has done for us through Jesus. If we want to be followers of God, we must hear his voice. And if it seems like you haven't heard his voice in a while, I'd encourage you to spend time in his word and spend time in silence and solitude. Now, God doesn't call you to be lonely, which is one of the reasons he sent his Spirit to dwell in us and among us, to remind you that in Christ, you are not alone. But he does call all of us at times to be still, and at times to even go into solitude. For solitude reminds us that even Jesus, the God-man, took times to be alone with the Father. And two, it reminds us we are often distracted by the busyness and at times even literal noise of our life. When we take silence and solitude, we can truly say with confidence that the worries and fears of our life are placed on the feet of Jesus. And we simply say that God is God and we are not. So the question as we get to the end this morning should be, or rather the question for us isn't, should we take time of silence and solitude? But rather, when should we take time of silence and solitude? And exactly where and how should that look like? We can also be reminded that although we are called to be silent at times, God, on the other hand, is not. He's at work in the messy and dark places of our life and our world, and in the bright, God-giving moments of our life and our world. God isn't silent, and I'm so happy he isn't. He never has been and never will be. God is at work to bring about your sanctification, your holiness, and at one point in your life, even your salvation. God speaks through his word, so take time, yes, time in your busy life to spend time in his word and know God is God and you are not. Mike Cosper, in his book, Recapturing the Wonder, Transcendent Faith in a Disenchanted World, says this, "Done with some regularity, it, that silence and solitude, can become rich. We can discover a space in our hearts and in our world where the Lord meets us. And as we'll see, it's the beginning of the end of our religious efforts. A chance to face both the reality of our spiritual poverty and the wealth of God's spiritual blessings." It can be scary to do something like silence and solitude. If we're not careful, we can start to let our mind wander onto our to-do list of our everyday lives. If we're not careful, we can also treat this discipline along with every other discipline we know, to be something that is simply done to make us a better person, or to have it as something that will help us be accepted by God more. These lies can start to take a hold of our heart, our soul, our minds, which is why we must remember that we simply want to do these disciplines in order to know God more and to joyfully delight in our God who loves us and in a God who we want to know more and more deeply. So the charge this morning, the challenge this morning is simple and yet possibly hard for a lot of us. Take time to go into silence and solitude, not out of a sense of religious obligation or duty, but rather out of gospel joy, knowing that being silent and going into solitude will remind you of the example of Jesus, while also remind us to spend time listening to and reading God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for a time where we can spend time in your word. Father, I pray that for this next week, even today, that you will remind us that we do need to take time to simply be still, to take time of silence and solitude to remember who you are. And I pray that you would forgive us for when we forget your love, your grace, and your mercy in our life. Father, you are good. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.